Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. The aim of this podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. I'm your host, Gerhard, a missionary here at CCO, and today we continue on our Advent series. Andre, Angel, and myself have a conversation on what it means to witness in this season of Advent, and how important this is to bringing others to Christ. Before we get started, if you have any questions about evangelization, please email us at podcast@cco.ca and we'll answer them in a future episode. All right, let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to the Missionary Disciple Podcast. Andre and Angel, it's good to see you again.
Hello. Great to be back.
And so this week, we're continuing our Advent series, and we will be having a conversation on the world and seeing Christmas time not as a time to get frustrated that we're losing the Christmas spirit through commercialization and the craziness that the season has for all of us, but actually to see it from the lens of being a missionary disciple as an opportunity to bear witness and evangelize. And we have... We have a few pretty exciting topics to cover today. Just to expand more and set the stage, a lot of us can get frustrated during the Christmas time in that you're out and about and you're hearing the sometimes cheesy Christmas music playing. You're going into the coffee shop and everyone's got the Christmassy mugs, but there's no, like, Christ is not in Christmas. It's snowflakes and snowmen and penguins and polar bears. It may feel like any notion of what Christmas is actually about is ignored or pushed aside. However, kind of behind all of that, people are open to it. Like, not all Christmas music playing on the radio is cheesy garbage or not referencing back or speaking about the Christmas story of Christ coming down. And we have a fantastic opportunity to witness to a world at a time where people are more open to the Christmas message than we may think or we may feel, because we've probably all at different times throughout the Christmas season feel like I'm the only one in Tim Hortons or in Starbucks or in, I don't know, the Hudson Bay right now, who actually is preparing for Christmas in belief that Christmas is the time when Christ is born into the world for all of us.
Yeah, we feel that society or the secular society is stealing Christmas from us, so we're getting all, uptight over the fact that, instead of saying Merry Christmas, people are saying Happy Holiday. The list goes on and on of angst that we have. So we spend most of our time throughout Christmas angry at the world for doing stealing Christmas from us. And to me, we should see Christmas not so much as the world taking Christmas away from us, but we should be saying, it's my job to incarnate Christmas into the world. This is my great missionary season. I mean, I have context, because if you look at our society, you just look, Starbucks, for example, they dress up Christmas for me. I mean, if you want to have an evangelical conversation, go to Starbucks, because it looks Christmassy and it feels Christmassy. It's different than before. I don't care if it's a polar bear, that's the design, but they're doing it for the Christmas season. And so I'm going to take advantage of that. We need to take advantage of this. And I know, Michelle, you have a lot to say about this.
I got opinions. To me, the sabotaging of the word Merry Christmas, which was really upsetting, in the first few years that it was happening, felt very violated. Like, this is our word. This is our season. They're taking it. The world is taking away Christmas and replacing it with this generic word, which still annoys me, but it's actually created a platform for evangelization, because now the word Merry Christmas stands out.
It means something. Mm-hmm. Before, yeah, it was just like, good
It was
day.
White noise. It, yeah, was, it was like, white of course, noise. Of course, like it's that. Merry Christmas. Like, yeah, Merry Christmas. Christmas this, Christmas that. But now the politically correct thing is to say holidays. So now when you do say Christmas, it's like, oh, you notice it. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, you notice when a company or something actually has the courage to say Merry Christmas. Or you write your cards and you write Merry Christmas. There's an intentionality in you writing Merry Christmas, because I'm writing the word Christ in there, right? Even like there's even a temptation like to be trendy and say season's greetings or happy holidays or I don't know things. But like when you say like, no, like the right thing to say is Merry Christmas and why I'm saying it. There's an intentionality that can come there. So
I'll give you an example of that. I totally agree. I mean, we all know that Christmas lights is a common reality. You just drive everywhere and there's Christmas lights. At one time, you know, when my parents were growing up, when I was a young boy, you know, we recognized that Christmas lights is celebrating Christmas.
They had electricity back then?
They did, Alicia. They had electricity.
They used candles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people did, but most people used electricity back then. It was well known. We understood that this is about Christmas. We didn't have to have a sign that said, you know, Christmas lights. We just knew the lights were for Christmas. Now it's for the holidays. Okay, we know that. That's people have lost sight of holidays. So what we do in our front yard is we put a manger scene on it. And it's a plastic thing, but it's nice, you know.
I can't believe you didn't say creche.
A creche.
I have a Frenchman.
Yes, I know.
It's pathetic.
Yes, but a creche. And so we have Joseph, a Mary, a shepherd, and an angel that's hanging from a tree. That's beautiful. It's lit up. But just the other day, this happened twice, but I want to tell you what happened a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So we had a young family come over to our place. What happened was, as soon as they got out of the car, the three-year-old saw Mary. And so he ran. You know that scene in Elf when he said they heard that Santa was coming? And how did he say it? I'll show you.
He goes, Santa!
Santa!
I know him!
Santa! I know him. Well, what he did, this little three-year-old went right up to the manger scene and he goes, Mary! Mary! And his father watched this. It was like he was so almost what would be a word to describe?
It was like seeing a longtime friend. Like,
yeah, he was so like he didn't just say, "Oh, look, Mary, Mary, Mary." He fell in love. That manger scene, the creche, is a testimony. Out of my lawn, it's a testimony. When people drive by, they're reminded, "Oh, it's Christmas." It's a powerful testimony to or a reminder. But a couple of years ago, a parent came up to me and said, I want you to know my five-year-old, there's lots of lights throughout our neighborhood. She said, yours is her favorite. And the reason it's a favorite is because the manger scene. I don't know why. I don't even know. Do they go to church? Do they even go to church?
Well, they are Catholic. They go to the Catholic school, but I'm not sure how much they practice.
But the young kid just loves our manger scene. I just think there's an attraction. This is my theory, okay? My theory is, you know, like we've sang it and we know the story of how the angels filled the heavens and singing glory to God in the highest. And the shepherds and, you know, heard it. And I think it was so profoundly, eternal. That the angels singing was so, they captured the universe because God came to earth. That I believe that over the Lent, Advent and Christmas season, we still can hear the angels saying glory to God in the highest. And so Christmas is in the air. People might want to say happy holiday, but in their heart they're saying they can hear the sound of the angels singing. And so their hearts and their minds are hearing it.
I want to say a little bit about the creche on our lawn. Like any other time of the year, if we were to put out the Divine Mercy image of Jesus on our lawn, that'd be super weird. If we were to put out a Sacred Heart of Jesus picture on June 6th, like that'd be super weird. But I can put the Holy Family on my lawn in December.
Put
and
lights
everybody's
on it.
Okay with it. Okay? So it's an opportunity.
By the way, they slow down and look at it.
They slow down and look at it. And it's beautiful. It's a welcomed. Okay? So it's my opportunity to witness. But what I'm saying about the flip of society right now is that my lawn stands out more now than it did in 1970 or 1980.
Amen.
Because mm-hmm. now I'm making a bit of a statement. It's a bit more clear because people had nativity scenes all the time when we were growing up. Like that was Santa nativity. Like it was all just stuff. But now to actually put the nativity scene on your lawn is like, oh.
It's a testimony.
It's a testimony. Mm-hmm. And there's an intentionality in that. And the looker is not white noise. It's not a white noise Christmas decor. It's, oh, they're religious or, oh, yes, or, we don't do that. Like it creates a bit of a right? And a positive, I think, that it's doing something where before it was just part of normal decor. So from a missionary disciple point of view, take advantage of the Christmas season in your decor. So we try to have a beautiful house outside with a beautiful nativity scene. Not just starkly a nativity scene, but the whole house is beautiful because we want to say, like, we are celebrating it just as well as you are. And look at the beauty of the
Christ
house.
Do you think every Catholic should put Christmas lights up?
Oh, my goodness. But put a nativity scene. Like, if every Catholic home, every Christian home actually elevated the nativity scene on their lawn, would that not be an incredible grassroots initiative to proclaim Christ? The Knights of Columbus have their Keep Christ in Christmas campaign, which is excellent. The billboards, things that go in the car. Like I like it. I think it's great. But also if you have a missionary disciple mindset, then it's beautiful. If you're an angry Catholic and you're like, Keep Christ in Christmas, that's not beautiful. I don't know how much grace is coming out of that attitude.
You look very angry there, by the way.
I get angry sometimes.
Yeah, I was afraid there.
Well, you just remember this, okay? Because someday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just think it is this incredible opportunity, mm-hmm. right? That society is so politically correct that the one time at Christmas and at Easter, but especially at Christmas, it's softer.
Yeah. And kind of building off that point when you mentioned earlier, if at any other time of year you were to put, June 6th, you have a big picture of the Divine Mercy on there. People are going to drive by and they don't understand. Even most Catholics wouldn't make the connection between the Divine Mercy and June 6th being the feast day for
that's Sacred Heart.
So
Divine Mercy is after, after Easter.
So they wouldn't make the connection and it causes confusion. And when there's confusion, people don't get the message because they're not sure what you're trying to say. Whereas in Christmas, people intuitively know that Christmas is because of Christ coming into the world.
Amen.
So when you put the creche on your lawn, people know the connection.
People get it.
And they can get and understand the message you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's the Christmas season, whether their beliefs are in alignment with yours or not, they're acknowledging the message you're saying and recognizing it.
Yeah, the power of the gospel, like the testimony, I mean, it might be just a scene in our front yard, but in itself, it's a testimony. It has power. I think it has power to kind of change the heart. We need to flood society with Christmas. Society, by the way, if you look at, and we get angry at, and we hear it over and over again, that we can't use Christmas, and it's usually politicians, okay, that are saying...
You sound angry.
Oh, I am extremely angry. It's usually politicians or people that have agendas that are trying to steal or kind of
neutralize
Christmas. But the most of the population are very much open to Christmas, Jesus. They might not be bought into it, but they're fine with it because they have a memory of the days.
They have a memory.
Yeah, they have a memory of it. And it's a good memory. And so people know. And so I don't listen to politicians. Usually they're the ones that stop things from happening. But they can't stop us. They can't stop our nativity scene. Can you imagine if every practicing Catholic had a nativity scene out front. And what are the ones, like the plastic ones, where would you get it on, Shad? Where could you get it on?
I think Canadian Tire actually is where we got ours. And in the day I'd ordered from Sears.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of ways
I'm sure you could find a very tasteful one on Amazon.
Yeah, yeah, just go.
Good old Amazon.
But it's really easy, cheap, easy to put up. I just had a platform, put it on the platform and got a spotlight and there it is.
Yeah, it's a bit of an investment. For us, we built up that set, but it's enduring and it was worth it. But, you know, this kind of speaks actually, like, just to be deep, to the transcendentals, because this is an opportunity for beauty, for us to embrace beauty, the beauty of Christmas. And the world likes to make the holidays very beautiful. Well, let's make Christmas as beautiful. And it's just like our house is our simple little house, right? Like, but there's a beauty to it that is drawing people to gaze on Christ, whether they really realize it or not, but they do. They, for the most part, they are understanding what they're looking at.
Yeah, I think I really like that beauty, you know, the transcendentals. Yeah, we talk a lot about that. Yeah. Let's stop talking about the transcendentals. Let's put the investment in making our house
beautiful. Because when else can you really, as an ordinary Catholic, enter into using beauty as a transcendental? Yeah. Other than how beautiful I look today and going out into public.
Yeah.
You know, like, when do we have, you can make a beautiful yard, but how is that giving glory to God? Well, maybe indirectly.
Yeah.
But Christmas, yeah. Can you decorate your yard for Easter? Not so easily. Like, it's, you know. Like, we do actually, we put up a cross on our lawn Sunday morning, but it's just not as normal. It's pretty, like, not normal, right?
So we're starting two movements here, and they kind of interconnected. And I'm really excited about it because I think it can go somewhere. One is that let's start a movement that every intentional Catholic out there puts a manger scene in their front yard as a testimony. And the second is that we should put the investment of making our front yard as beautiful as possible so it gives testimony to the beauty
of the birth of Christ.
So those are two real practical things we can do. So we're talking beautiful front yard, but someone right now is saying, well, it's too late for me. Next year I'm going to do that. Remind me in October next year, and this is what I'm going to do. So we'll start this movement maybe next year.
Nah,
it's a little too late
get
now.
Get going.
But there's another way we can actually, you know, the beauty, goodness.
Truth.
And truth. Goodness is really important. Is it good to actually say Merry Christmas? Maybe we'll talk about that goodness. Or is it offensive? Are we trying to... You know, in your
depends
face.
Depends on your tone, right?
Yeah.
Depends on your tone. Mm-hmm. If you notice, like, when you go to the cashier, right, they are going to process your order. And as you leave at Christmas, they're going to say, like, have a happy holiday or da, 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 da. And at first that used to really annoy me that they were, like, not saying Merry Christmas, because that would be normal in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, right? But then I thought, okay, these people have to toe the party line. They're being told by their employer they have to say happy holidays, not Merry Christmas. So then I stopped judging the cashier. And then I thought, but I don't have to respond angry. I can actually respond with love. And so I started changing my attitude. And so when they would say happy holidays, I would actually look the cashier in the face and I'd say, Merry Christmas. And not like, the tone was so light. Like, I maybe said it even too excited there, but like, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. And then they would almost always look back at me with a softness in their eyes and say, Merry Christmas. Like, that's what I really wanted to say, but I can't say it, right? Like, they would say it softer, but kind of like, it was kind of code. It's almost like the fish in the early days of Christianity.
Yeah.
Like, there's this code, like, yeah, I actually know this is Merry Christmas. And it gave them permission to say Merry Christmas, probably even with their employer, because I said it first. But when I'm saying Merry Christmas to them, I'm not trying to say, like, it's my holiday, Merry Christmas. I'm saying Merry Christmas to that person. I want them to know the joy of Christ.
Amen.
And I'm actually praying for them as I'm saying it. And they are, there's a response. There's like, for at least in Christendom, like, Canada is largely a Christian-based country. So many, many people understand that this is the Christian holiday of the birth of Christ. So they're kind of, if they're not too strong spiritually, they won't know, can I You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but it's similar to what you said about having a manger scene. It stands out today, and it becomes a testimony. People aren't offended by my manger scene. I don't think they're offended. And if they are offended, there's bigger problems that they're dealing with. But most people, when I say, you know, Merry Christmas, it stands out as it's almost like, yes, I love you and you're the best. And this is a beautiful time of the year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're saying so much. It's loaded.
It's very loaded.
And it's
now.
Not, it is, our tone means something. So here's a third movement I'd like to start now.
Oh.
Is, let's start a movement of saying Merry Christmas as a form of prayer and intercession, as a testimony. So it goes with, behind it is I love you. It's like, or I'm very thankful for you serving me in the way you've served me. So I go to Starbucks, order that latte Christmas blend. I give them the money and they did a good job of serving me. I say, Merry Christmas. Like, I'm not saying, like you said, it's not, the tone isn't, hey, I see holiday, it's Christmas, Merry Christmas, you know, like, I'm going to take this back. No, I am testifying to it. Merry Christmas. And you know what? They're not going to be offended by it, especially if love covers a multitude of sins. So if I say Merry Christmas, even if they're bitter, my love will flood them, will right. win
so
their heart.
There's a lightness, there's a kindness, there's this disposition that's a sweetness to it that they won't be able to resist. Now let's take, it's June or May or August, and you're going to say to the Starbucks person some kind of sentence that has the word Christ in it. I don't think that's going to work, mm-hmm. right? But we can do that all through December.
Yeah, it's and amazing. As someone who worked retail throughout my time in school,
tell us how it is.
You'd be surprised at how many people on their own will go up to someone at the cash or working in the store and say Merry Christmas without being provoked, or like without me saying Merry Christmas first.
Right.
The number is surprisingly high. So for our listeners,
you wouldn't be weird.
You're not going to be weird. In fact, you're probably more normal in doing that than you may think.
But even if they're weird, we need to do it. Don't be afraid. That's what I say. Do not be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Say Merry Christmas.
The angel said that.
Yeah, and really building off the point Andre made, particularly during the Christmas season, for anyone working retail, you're usually stressed to the gills because it's just busy. Everyone's put off the Christmas shopping to the last minute, or even if they haven't, like, it's Saturday, you're working the weekend shift, you don't want to be there. People are busy, not necessarily in the happiest mood. To have even one person in your day come up and say, hey, Merry Christmas, with a joyful and a loving attitude, you will make their day. You may be the only person that day in what could be an extremely hard and stressful shift that
loves you,
that loves them, and that they like, you will make an impact on that person that you may not know. You're nudging them a little closer to Christ by how you act, and you will be the person that will stand out.
I'm hearing you say that's a little bit like the experience of the softness of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the Christ child came to us as a baby, this softness, this tenderness, this lightness, this sweetness. And just that little interaction we have is just meeting them where they're at, the way Christ met us. So we just, it's so subtle. It's so easy. But also it's loaded from a spiritual point of view. It's actually really loaded.
Yeah. And it makes a difference. Like you will change someone's day by doing that.
I think, you know, again, we should be, everyone listening to this, and you should let 10 other people know that Christmas enables us, and I love what you said, Anshad. It was like a light bulb moment, aha moment, is when you said, when else can we say to anybody on the street, wherever I go, may Christ bless you. That would stand out as, could be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
There is proselytizing. What's the word?
Proselytizing.
Yeah. But this is a blessing. And that's why I think the angels are saying, glory to God in the highest.
Okay, speaking of the angels, actually, so another thing that I've experienced shopping, actually, this literally happened in Walmart. I was doing last minute shopping, Garrett, and I was stressed, actually. So I'm shopping, I'm making decisions, thinking. At some point, the music catches my ear, and I hear the words, and I'm like, oh my goodness, right now, all of Walmart is listening to songs of praise of the Savior mm-hmm. of the world, like Jesus's name, like all this stuff. And like nobody is weirded out. Everybody is just doing their thing, shopping. And the message of the kerygma of Jesus, of the Savior, is all over the store. And I'm cognizant of what's going on. I'm like Jesus is being praised. The angels are singing
exactly.
right now in Walmart.
Yeah.
And are there ears to hear and eyes to, you know, eyes to see and ears to hear of the glory of God? And I kind of just stopped with my cart and I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, like, come, like, Holy Spirit, like, let these words drip. I started interceding Amen. For the people yeah. at Walmart. Let this never stop, that this music would be stopped in our society. Let this music have its greatest effect. Let this touch their hearts. Let this draw them to the Christ child. Like, I just... So then I just kept my shopping, but interceding. And like every new song that would come up, I'd be attentive. Like, is this a Santa song or a Jesus song? And the Jesus songs were amazing.
So here's another practical thing that could be done then, because, yeah, and everywhere you go, you know, starting now, you know, the beginning of December, I mean, you get sick and tired of the songs because they're playing, you know, every radio station is playing it, you know, every department store, every coffee shop, every workplace, wherever you go. The praises of God are, and some of those songs are very much kerygma based, you know, but maybe the concrete thing we can do when, you know, we always talk about, oh, Christmas is so busy and, you know, we're losing the spirit of Christmas because of consumerism, but we continue doing it. Well, let's transform that a little bit and just do what my wife, Angèle, was doing, is that when you are in Walmart, take a moment as you're listening to the music and just enter into worship and ask for the Holy Spirit to allow the words of the angels that are singing to reveal those words to more and more people in Walmart at this particular time. That could take like 1 minute, mm-hmm. just 1 minute, just recognize the moment.
And
just
recognize what's happening here.
Exactly.
Because Christmas yeah. is under attack. But we still allow that music to be played in our public spheres. Like, I'm aware of it now. It isn't white noise. So, wow. Like, Lord, thank you for the freedom we have in our society currently for this music to be played to mm-hmm. the public.
And let it penetrate.
Let it penetrate
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Exactly.
And let it penetrate. Be played for an entire month to people who might never hear anything about Christ, Jesus at all throughout the other time of year. But for an entire month, it's raining down on them
and
from the speakers.
Yeah. And it's not a watered down message. I mean, you know, it really talks
about salvation.
Yeah, it's about salvation. It's about God coming to earth, the glory of God coming to earth and saving us from our sins.
Now, let's imagine that it was April and stores decided to play hymns about the death and resurrection of Christ for a month.
Yeah.
We'd be shocked.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would
that would never have ever happened.
Advent is
a time of grace. Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
Time of grace. And unfortunately, we have been cursing.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And but maybe, but even as we speak, I'm seeing more clearly how this is a real opportunity for every Catholic to be missionary. And when we are missionary in this season, we're actually entering into Advent. We're inviting people to wait with us. Advent is waiting for the coming of Christ. Well, isn't that what we're talking about? Is we're wanting Christ to come to people in Walmart?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
So it fits the kind of the grace of the season. Of Advent.
So in this whole approach, like having this missionary disciple outlook on how the world is engaging with Christmas, there is this opportunity to see the platform that it is to be a beautiful and positive witness of Christ and an opportunity for intercession. Because to praise God in a as a means of interceding for the salvation of the world, which is why he came.
So the
world is really our stage for Advent and Christmas.
And the world is open to hearing what we have to say.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us today for our conversation on giving witness in the world during the season of Advent. This is part two of our four-part Advent series, and stay tuned for next week as we discuss being a missionary disciple when you return to a family they may not necessarily agree or see eye to eye with your faith. If you have any questions, comments, queries, quandaries, conundrums, or otherwise, please email us at podcast@cco.ca. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share us with your friends. Once again, I'm your host, Gerhard, and you're listening to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. Until next time, God bless.